This is City Lights on WABE Atlanta. I'm Lois Reitzes, so glad to be here with you and a very distinguished guest. Our Atlanta Symphony Orchestra music director, Robert Spanner, has had a long and treasured collaboration with composer Christopher Theofanidis. He is in town, and he is in our very studios this morning to talk about the world premiere of a piece you've written especially for our orchestra. Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Lois. It's really, really great to be back again.
And to talk about creation, creator on a show that celebrates creativity. Where do we begin? I guess I've read that the piece really has a dual purpose, as implied in the title.
Right. I mean, it's so hard to talk about this. You know, I've thought often I need to really sit down and develop a kind of elevator speech to get the idea of this thing across. The impulse basically is to, you know, there of course, the Haydn Creation is a magnificent work from 200 years ago, and it talks a lot about admiring the creation and kind of the passive voice of admiring God's creation. And that, of course, is very much part of this piece, too, the kind of gratitude that you feel for, and marvel that you feel towards a created thing, the universe, an object, a piece of art, anything like that. But then the other side that I really felt like was important to include in that whole discourse was the idea of actually creating, what it means to create something. And so there are a lot of texts that are woven throughout these more kind of gratitude-oriented texts that come from creative artists, from scientists, from a lot of different disciplines that kind of bring that side, the more active side of things, to that equation.
Let's talk about the texts. You begin with a poem by Rumi.
Yes, one of my favorites of all time. I mean, I did a piece with the ASO a few years ago based on all Rumi texts, which I think it's those texts for me are really life mantras in a way. I keep coming back to them, and I try to live my life by them in some ways.
Oh, wow.
And so it seemed like a great way to start the whole thing. And he has this wonderful poem that actually was originally going to be part of the Here and Now, and I just got carried away and had too many movements, so I had to keep it out of there, which was very fortuitous for this occasion. The work is called The Elephant in the Dark, and basically it sets the stage for a way to kind of approach the whole piece. Rumi says, you know, there are a lot of people come to a room that's dark, and there's an elephant there, and they each reach out and feel a part of the elephant. So somebody feels the leg and thinks it's a giant column made of stone, and another feels the tusk and thinks it's a sword, and the other one feels the back and thinks it's a leathery throne. And he said, of course, they all don't understand what they're touching because they're in the dark. But if they talk together and they could actually interact, then some way they would understand the elephant in the dark.
Mm.
And I like that as a metaphor for bringing together a lot of different disciplines to kind of understand God, to understand creating, all those kind of different approaches to thinking of the same subject from different angles.
And how unifying this would be. Mm. You reached back many centuries to Rumi. You reach back even farther to Hildegard von Bingen for Rainbow Body.
Right.
And you also incorporate 20th century physicists in your work, in your creativity. I think this is part of what is so marvelous about your work, your worldview, and one very closely shared with Robert Spanner.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, behind both science and religion and art is this kind of impulse towards joy, towards the aha, the kind of great awakening in a way. And I think that, you know, Robert absolutely gets that at every level of his living. And it's something that I would say, if I was looking back at my output, those are the kinds of things that kind of tend to spark something for me to in creating.
We're talking with composer Chris Theofanidis. Can I call you Chris?
Yes, of course.
Thank you,
please.
I mean, as lovely and mellifluous as all those syllables are, I just like calling you
they
Chris.
They kind of get in the way. Yeah.
No, they're just, I like to create endearment nicknames for everyone. We are talking with Christopher Theofanides. Chris will be back in a moment with us talking about the creative process and about this exciting new work, a world premiere this week in Symphony Hall. You're listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta. Tell us about the God Tapestry movement.
Some of the oldest religious texts that exist in the world are Hindu, and the Rig Vedas are among those. They're thousands and thousands of years old. And there are so many things from that tradition that appeal to me philosophically. One of them I found in a poem actually strangely called the Hymn of Creation. And it comes from the Rig Vedas, and the poem asks questions. How, why, how? It puts it in a very poetic way, but it starts with a series of questions, not declaiming something as the way things are, but rather by keeping an open mind and saying, what is this about? Why are we here? What are the purposes? But it, done in a very eloquent way. And it seemed to me that that is kind of a great way to approach religion and the divine and creating in a ways with a question first. And so that's the first of this God Tapestry. There are three sections to it. The second one is called the Dawn. It's also from the Rig Vedas, and it has to do with the way the sun, the life-giving source of the sun and light, is very analogous and kind of a metaphor for the creative process, the awakening of the kind of light in a way. And so that the second poem is a duet between soprano and mezzo and with the orchestra. And then the third section is called the Bhakti Path, and it's by a 15th century writer named Kabir. And the neat thing about it is it talks about the ego and essentially how the ego, ironically, is both involved in the creation of something, but you also lose the ego at the same time in trying to create something, and the kind of, you know, counterpoise between those two impulses of the ego to kind of create something. And it's quite lovely. But so those three things together seem to have a kind of an arc to them.
There's such richness, listening to you talk, there's such richness in the breadth of material that you incorporate. I'm wondering, I don't know about your personal beliefs or spiritualism or faith, but is yours derived from all of these, you know, these great thinkers and philosophers that have helped you celebrate life and creativity? Or do you follow a more traditional worship?
It's a good question. I came up through the Episcopalian denomination in Christianity, and that's my reference point, and that's my path in a way. But I can't help but kind of pay attention to everything else around me. And so all those other things inform the way I think. And in a way, you know, the richness of the Sufi tradition, for example, or the kind of imagination in the Hindu faith, those things just bring to life a lot of impulses for creating for me. And I find resonances with them in my own faith. So they complement each other.
We're listening to more music by Chris Theofanides now. On City Lights, which comes to you weekdays between 10 and noon on WABE Atlanta. Tell us a little about what we're hearing.
This is from the Here and Now, the piece based on Rumi texts. And this was done by the ASO back in 2005 and then recorded subsequently. And also they very happily took it up to Carnegie Hall. And so it's been great fun. And it's one of the joys of having worked with the chorus here, which is so spectacular. You know, they sing with one voice.
Amazing. Hate having to fade that, but want to tell you that you're listening to music from the here and now by Christopher Theofanidis, the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, and chorus music director Robert Spano conducting. There is going to be a very exciting event this week in Symphony Hall, the world premiere of a new Theofanidis work. And this is being staged as well. Now, was that the idea from the outset?
No, it was a very happy surprise. I thought this was going to be a stand and deliver oratorio. And amazingly, part of this Mellon grant that was awarded to the symphony included a production budget for the look of it in a way. And so they brought in James Alexander, who's somebody who's known to Atlanta audiences, a fantastic director. And, you know, we have two actors, five soloists, video. I mean, it's a kitchen sink oratorio.
Well, I think it is going to be absolutely spectacular in the true sense of the word. Hoping to talk a little bit more about the piece, the music itself. One of the sections is titled The Creation.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that as I was thinking about how to structure this, and that was one of the big challenges of this piece with all these different kind of movable components, how to order them. We found a fantastic poem from the Harlem Renaissance called The Creation by James Weldon Johnson. And, you know, when I was reading that, I knew I really wanted to put this into the work. However, I was also I didn't feel comfortable setting it to music. It felt like it had its own music in the text. And so I thought, well, you know, why not? Let's have a proper acted narration in a way. And that's what we're doing. And Vincent Cole's going to be actually reciting the poem in a kind of dramatic reading of it. And it's just going to be great. I mean, I'm so excited to have a couple of poetry excerpts preserved as poetry rather than something which is set to music.
Well, I know that it will also bring to mind Lift Every Voice and
yes,
Sing.
Yes, that's right.
Must have that same energy. Truman Capote figures into this work. We go look at talk about the divine and the earthly.
That's right. He's an interesting character, of course. But you know, it's funny. The Truman Capote text is one sentence essentially. It says, he's not so interested in the creation itself, but in the music it makes, which I thought was a lovely sentiment. And we adapted that because you can't actually use Truman Capote texts, as it turns out. So the way it's phrased is it's inspired by Truman Capote. And we had a couple of those kind of moments where the phraseology is slightly different from his original quote. But it sets up, actually, in this case, what happens, it's kind of anacrusis, a little intro into an orchestral feature that's about 3.5 minutes long, very lively and a lot of fun. And it's kind of, you know, the chorus sings a cappella and then the orchestra comes in like,
boom,
you know, blazing. Yeah.
Boom. We're talking with composer Chris Theofanidis about this new exciting premiere Thursday and Saturday in Symphony Hall. You're listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta, where we are in the midst of spring fundraising.